Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur with your host, Steve Kidd, third-generation minister and 30-year business coach. Listen in as amazing, world-changing authors, speakers, and coaches share their struggles and victories, and hear from best-selling authors' insight into how you, too, can live your life as a thriving entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur. I hope today finds you feeling amazing. But I know sometimes there are times when you're down under the weather, you've got things happening in your life. And if that happens to be where you're at today, well, I'd like to remind you that you're awesome, you're amazing, and now is your chance to get to be able to thrive. Because I do really seriously want to see you live your life as a thriving entrepreneur. So thanks for joining us here today on Thriving Entrepreneur. I have a brand new best-selling author that we're going to feature today. And I also picked up a couple of old episodes, not the whole episode, just a couple of guests that we had that maybe you missed them because they were with some other people. And so I just really kind of want to introduce you to a few of our other people that have been on so that you get some exposure as to the different types of people that you can get help and advice from here on Thriving Entrepreneur. Today, we really want to focus on your passion. What are you passionate about? And how does it then show up in the world? You could be a doctor, a lawyer, a work at home, whatever. You could be a stay-at-home mom. You could be a guy who travels the world internationally motivating audiences. Or you could be a lady who works, with the older people. You could be a man who is a teacher, or maybe even one of those male nurses. There are a lot of incredible people out there. And I know that you are one of them, that you are fulfilling such a uniquely special place in the world. But the question becomes is, are you living your passion? It's so easy for us to fall into the trap of just doing work. Maybe it was what we were passionate about, but now it's just another day at the office. Do you ever feel that way? See, the thing about it is that until we are passionate in what we do, we aren't really filling the place that only we can fill in the world. When you go to work every day, it can seem so ho-hum. When you open up your office for business to the world, when you make breakfast for the kids, all of those kind of things, you're fulfilling such an incredibly amazing, important, worthwhile, needed place in the world. And if you don't do it, no one else can do what you do. A lot of us have been convinced that what we do is just so unimportant, but I'm here to tell you today that what you do in the world is so, so important that we, all of us here in the world, need you. We need you to be the best version of you that you can possibly be, because only by you living out, fulfilling your greatness, can all the rest of us also be really, truly fulfilled and living in a place of greatness ourselves. As we all come together, we begin to create a world that is the world that we want to live in. It's by doing that thing that each of us can do that we then, all of us, come together and make such an incredible, amazing, thriving place to live our life and work and have our business. So if you felt a little down lately about the people you're working with, hopefully we can encourage you today that passion and living in it and letting it show up, your passion, letting your passion show up every day as you work, you live, you move through the world. That is the number one key to living your life, thriving in everything you do. And we really do want you to live as a thriving entrepreneur. We'll be right back. You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn.
Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome back. Thank you so much for being here today. We have got some amazing books, some amazing authors, and just more than anything, incredible people to bring to you here today so that you can live out a life filled with your passion. Do you really want to do that? Because if you do, then you can really truly learn how to put your passion into practice, whatever you may be doing in life, how to really, really instill that, install that, and then live that in every area and every aspect of your life. That sounds like something we all want, isn't it? Do you know that the patients you work with are people too? Wow, that's a thing that a lot of us as patients have probably wondered sometimes, but I wonder how the doctors foresee that. And so we want to dive into this subject, and to help us with it is the author of the new book, Putting Passion into Practice, Santrell Hart-Moneland. Hi, Santrell. How are you today?
Hi, I'm fabulous, Steve. How are you today?
I'm doing good. I was stumbling over all the P's, but, I'm doing all right.
It is a mouthful, but yes, putting passion into practice.
Yeah, I love the title, and patients are people too. So talk to us a little bit about your practice. Who are you and what do you do?
Well, I am a practicing optometrist. I've been practicing since 1999. I opened my own practice called down in the southern suburbs of Atlanta, specifically Ellenwood, Georgia. And then a few years after that, I opened my second location a little further south in McDonough, Georgia. So I've been doing this for a little while now. Yeah.
What is your favorite thing about being an optometrist?
For me, I think it's when I see my young patients for the first time get their first pair of glasses and the excitement on their face because they didn't realize that the trees actually had individual leaves on them, or they can actually see the bark in the trees. It's not just a brown stem coming out of the ground. So that's when I get most excited, just to see their little faces and their expressions because they're so excited about seeing for the first time. And if any of you have ever worn glasses before, you know what that feeling's like. You thought you were seeing pretty good, but it's a whole new world.
Well, I actually remember when our youngest daughter, Maya, actually said to Kathy, hey, Mom, look, trees have leaves.
Exactly. So, yeah, that's my favorite part, working with my young ones.
Yeah, that's fun. So, patients are people too. Sometimes they cause you to need a lot of patience. talk to us a little bit about how you went through the realization that sometimes patients aren't being treated as people.
Well, for me, it started, I'm going to say, early into practicing optometry. Now, I love what I do. Don't get me wrong. I always wanted to be a doctor. Some of that because, society says that doctors make a lot of money, and so I wanted to make a lot of money, quite frankly. But going through school and coming out and actually practicing in optometry, I started to become a little disgruntled. I felt like I had gone through all this schooling. I was in debt up to my eyeballs. I'm doing all of this work, and it wasn't as fulfilling as I thought it would be. And at that point in life, it primarily was because I didn't really see my patients. They were a means to an end. And for me, what really made the big difference, I went on a missionary trip where I actually saw how impactful a pair of glasses could be, not just for the person that was in front of me, but for their whole family and thus that whole community. And that really impacted me and changed me. And so when I came back to the States, I saw my patients really as not just a means to an end, but individual people with lives, with responsibilities, with things that they had to endure and go through. Even though they were only with me, stay for maybe 10, 15 minutes, what I did for them in that short amount of time really impacted their lives. And so that gave me a new perspective. And I felt like I wasn't the only doctor who was out there practicing similarly until I got my new inspiration, let's call it. And so that's why I've written the book, Putting Passion into Practice.
And I know it's really easy, I mean, regardless of what job you have, for it to be exactly that. It becomes a job. You know, it's that thing you're really passionate about, and then it just becomes that thing that you have to get up in the morning and do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's real for all of us, no matter how much we love what we do. So what are some secrets to helping us, you know, reignite that passion after, you know, those first couple of days, weeks, months, years, whatever, you know, from start have waned and now we've been doing it for a while?
Well, I don't profess, Steve, by any means to be a guru about this and have it all figured out. But a couple of things that really helped me is, number one, to realize that I am here to serve. And when I come into the office, and I know first and foremost, my purpose is to help the person in front of me do what they need to do better. And that's the bottom line. Then I can go in fully energized and knowing that that's what I'm going to do for that day. So setting that intention, realizing that purpose, and going forth and doing that. Now, because I do serve the public, there are people who come in who, you know, are experiencing lots of things in their personal lives. They may have had, I don't know, their car stolen or their dog hit or, you know, just a host of bad things that have happened. And they bring that into the office. So they're not always pleasant to work with. But when I know that I'm here to help them, they can feel that, and the situation changes, and in the end, everybody's happier and better, and it's just a joyful experience. And so those are the main things, well, the main thing, I should say, that keeps me motivated, that keeps me passionate about what I do, knowing that I'm here to serve first and foremost. So I guess realizing that purpose in being, number one. And then two, before I even come into the office, I make sure I spend some time in meditation and reflection and just encouraging me, because you can't really put forth your best effort if, you know, you're not fully present. So I do those things before I even leave the house to go into the office.
I think that's a really good secret too, because, you know, a lot of times when we get good enough at something that we can kind of do it on autopilot, it's real easy to kind of do it on autopilot.
Mhm. Mhm. And I think that's the key. Another key too, Steve. You know, you want to be physically, or not just physically, but mentally present. Because, you know, when you do have routines, when you do have habits, when you are, you know, doing a lot of the same functions day in and day out, it can become automated. And so sometimes you have to actually put forth the effort to be present in that moment. And so those are some of the things that I do to try to stay present.
So, you know, the book is geared primarily towards doctors and optometrists that are needing, you know, whatever, a reignition, kick in the pants, whatever that might be.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for the average patient just picking up the book, what kind of nuggets of wisdom are there in the book for them?
Well, I think generally the principles are universal, because as you alluded to, doctors aren't the only people who sometimes become robotic in their daily activities. I think everyone, you know, or, you know, those that have careers or jobs that they attend to have that at the risk of becoming robotic and, you know, not present. So the principle of just being aware can apply to everyone. Lawyers, teachers, mechanics, factory workers who, you know, where their routines are kind of mundane, just to enjoy the moment that you're in, or, you know, find your purpose for being in that moment. Some people really, really hate their jobs, and they're just there to accumulate finances to move to the next job. But if their purpose in that present position is just that, to accumulate finances, they can find joy in knowing that for every hour that they're there, they're increasing their financial position so that they can move, and so they can, you know, stay present in that moment. So I think for everyone, there's that small bit that they can take away to just really be present in the moment.
Well, and I think the title of your book really sums that up. The whole concept of putting passion into practice, you know, it assumes that you've taken the time to identify what is it that I'm really passionate about. I liked that you gave the example of, you know, if it's the money that's really what's driving you, then, you know, focus on the money. You know, where is your passion?
Exactly. So it does assume that there has been some self-reflection somewhere along the way. And two, I also included in the book an emotional scale, so to speak. So I didn't make that up. I got that from the Hicks, Abraham Hicks, and I can't put my finger on it right at this moment. But at any rate, so this emotional scale, the concept behind that is that in the moment where you're in, you can kind of do a self-check and realize how you're feeling in that moment. Are you feeling good or are you feeling bad, to make it more general? But then there are 22 different levels, let's call them, from being depressed and suicidal to joyous, ecstatic, and at peace. And so there are all these different levels in between. And if you can just sometimes just take that, sit back, pause, assess how you're really feeling at that moment, and then choose to feel better or not. If you choose to feel better, the more you go towards that feeling better step, the more passionate you'll become, the more fulfilling life will be. And so just knowing, again, where you are in that particular time, focusing on that, and try to, you know, decide if you want to continue to feel that way or not, and going forward. So I put in the book also, along with that emotional scale, some different practical exercises that one can do to kind of help facilitate those better feelings.
Well, and so people need to get the book to learn all of the practices, but just to give a person, somebody that wants to feel a little better today, you know, a leg up, what's one thing that a person could do right now today to help them feel just a little bit better?
So one thing, and I'm a big person of writing things down, journaling. I know everybody is big into journaling. And so if you don't want to physically write it and record it, you may be able to talk into your phone. We all have smartphones these days. But if there is a situation that you're experiencing, no matter what it is, write down that situation and then think about all of the positive things that you can think about regarding that situation. I would like to give an example, but at the moment I can't think of one because I'm kind of trying to keep it generalized. But pick a topic, pick a situation, no matter what it is, and actually record everything that you can find positive about that situation. And just in doing that, you will feel better about that situation. And because you're now feeling better about that situation, you're going to approach that situation differently. So you can expect, and I can almost guarantee it, a more positive outcome.
So the last person that you dealt with is sandpaper. That's what we'll say. You know, they're going to rub some of the rough edges off of us. We can write that down. You know, that person was really rude to me, you know. And then we can find the good things in that. You know, A, they're gone. They're not here anymore.
Right, right. You know? And that was another opportunity for me to see what actually rubs me raw. So that's a positive thing. And another opportunity for me to think about what I could do differently to get a different outcome and just continue along that vein.
I think that's an awesome suggestion, regardless of, you know, especially if you're working with patients, clients, any type of the people, you know, you never know what just simply being able to take that moment and rewrite your inner dialogue, your, you know, ability to be happy for people can actually do to really majorly impact somebody's life. So I appreciate that. The book is called Putting Passion into Practice by Santrell Hart-Moreland. And I really encourage all of you to go out to Amazon and get your copy. Thanks so much for being on the show with us today, Santrell.
Thank you so much, Steve, for having me. I appreciate you.
I love that doctors are considered to be practicing medicine. You never get to a place really as a physician that you're the expert. You don't have to learn anything anymore. Even the guys who are teaching at the teaching schools, you know, who, Dr. Oz on TV, things like that, they still are practicing medicine. You know, hopefully they're not practicing and messing up and getting it wrong. But in other words, we always can advance our skills. We always can take that thing that we're so passionate about and that we do so well, and we can add practice to it. And through that, we can make the world a better place. A good friend of mine used to say, you know, the old phrase, practice makes perfect, is actually not true. And I was like, wait a minute, of course it is, you know? And he's like, no, think about it. Because if you practice doing something wrong, it doesn't matter if you practice doing that for your whole entire life. You're never going to get it perfect. But if you practice doing things right, you can get to the place where you learn how to perfect your art, your craft, your ability. And that's how our passion really works. It isn't just something that just springs on, jumps on the back of us, and makes us do it whether we want to or not. But as we embrace our passion, we put action into our passion, then we begin to see ourselves perfecting who we are and the place that we have in this world. And that's a great way to live as a thriving entrepreneur. Don't go away. We'll be right back. You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time, because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome back. This is Thriving Entrepreneur, and we're here to help ignite your passion today, to help you feel excited about the most monotonous, boring, uninspiring things you do in your day. Because, you know, there's a lot of that kind of stuff. I was a single parent of five kids for almost 5 years before Kathy and I got together, and I remember what the days were like where, you know, you had a lot of kid stuff. I remember a couple year stretch where every time I planned, you know, anything for myself, an evening out, a weekend where all of the kids were going to be at somebody else's house and I finally got to have a little mini dad vacation or any of those kind of things, invariably, one of them would get sick. one of them would have a friend that would cancel, or, you know, they got in one of those fights with them or that kind of thing. And I get it. There are times when it's just like, oh, you don't understand. You don't see my life. How could you possibly understand and show me how to live passionately with this monotonous, boring routine, whatever word you give to it? But see, here's the thing. We talked about last week, what you focus on grows. Think about the little life that you get a chance to impact every day. Think about how much you've learned. My daughter was just here for a visit with her two little ones. I love grandkids. They are like God's gift to grandparents. You know, all those things that you used to say to your kids that you hear them now saying to their kids. And now you can just sit back and have fun. Whereas, you know, when they were children, maybe you even stressed out too much about it or any of that kind of things. And now you can just really enjoy life. It was fun because I've watched my daughter go through that transition from, you know, a teenager where, as the old saying goes, you know, teenagers of the world unite, move out now while you know everything before you start realizing how much you don't, you know, and she's transitioned into being a very good wife, very good mom. But, you know, there's challenging days. There's those days that are filled with, you know, children messing up the house and that kind of thing. We all have those parts of our life. But even deep within all of that is a passion for who you are. It never goes away. It may come out in all the craziest kind of things. It may come out in you being really creative with what you cook for the kids. You know, it may come out in, you know, in some kind of hobby that you do that's very creative. But really, no matter what, you have a passion inside of you. And when you say something over and over and over, kids, clean the room, you have to understand that that's more than just being a good mom. That is part of your passion showing itself. And if you stop and you look for a while, why is it that a clean room is important to you? I mean, let's face it, you've seen some houses. There are people who a clean room isn't so important to them. Another one that can be so, oh gosh, just overwhelming for a lot of people is finance. Finance is one of those things that breaks up marriages, ruins relationships, all those kind of things, because we hate talking about finance. And yet there are people who are just so passionate about it and they find ways to make it fun. That's why I wanted to share with you the interview that I had with my good friend Teresa Leftenant. You know, we actually did this live at one of the eWomen conferences, and she talks to us about some great principles for finance.
Okay, thanks, Steve. Love being here today. So I am a woman who's had 30 years of experience talking to people about their money, and I've learned that people have certain habits that are maybe not so positive, and they have certain thoughts about money and what it is that aren't exactly helpful to what they really want to do, be, or have in their life. So as a financial planner, giving advice and helping people plan their futures, I suddenly realized a couple of years ago, really prompted by 2008 and all of the problems that people had financially, that we really need to focus some more attention on the internal relationship with money, our psychology around money. And why? What is the connection, like connecting the dots between who we are really inside and the results that we can create or that we experience around our financial life? So that's what I've become really passionate about, helping people connect the dots so that they can have better results, so that they can have more of what they want. And of course, you know, in our culture, in America, we all are after the almighty dollar. We want more, because more means we can have better experiences or different experiences. We can give more, like back to our community. We can create lives for our children that we know is possible. So it's something more than just having things. you know, and that's what I want to help people really realize. Is that what can you do with your money that you feel passionate about, that you feel really excited for? Then let's make sure that we get your psychology in the right place, your money mindset. And that way you're going to have more chance of having it all.
Okay. So, you know, everybody has money. Yeah. Little or small.
Right.
And even when they don't have money, the bills still keep coming.
Yeah.
So let's say we're in a really tall building, and we're in an express elevator that's going to give us 4 or 5 minutes to get to the top.
Yes.
And I've been struggling with my money mindset.
Mm-hmm.
What would be your advice to me? Just totally having never met me, know nothing about me, what would be the first thing you would, you know, talk to me about?
With sure. So I start everybody with the first three secrets of your money mindset, getting it in the right place. And so secret number one is to tell the truth about your history with money, to really turn around and look back and face those mistakes. Because when we do, then we can forgive ourselves and we can learn from them. You know, we human beings, we have this way that we try to cope with things that we don't like that we did, you know. And those things are called maybe we overdrink or we watch television or we avoid in some way. But when you really turn around and say, you know what, I made a mistake when I bought that house and this is why it happened. Then you can learn from those things. You can learn how, well, maybe I'm a little bit impulsive when it comes to making big financial decisions. Or maybe I tend to want something that someone else wants, and I think I should have it too. So look at the truth and do a little analysis about who you are and whether or not that was, you know, what was your responsibility for it? So the second secret is looking at how you are living your life from a place of should. You know, like we all grow up, our parents saying, you should say thank you. You should wipe your feet before you come in the house. But we have that regarding money and how we should, our financial lifestyle, right? And referring to buying that bigger house or that bigger car. So, you know, if your best friend is driving a Porsche, and you, like, lust for that Porsche because everybody looks at you from, wow, you're amazing, you're cool because you have that. But then you can't put the money aside for your kid's college education, or you don't have the money to invest in that next marketing plan for your business. So that's the should. So are you living from shoulds, and what could you do instead of buying the big car or the big house or going on the expensive vacation? That's all fine, but get your priorities straight. Get your passions and your coulds in life going.
Okay.
And then the third thing is to, I like to say it this way, divorce your fear and marry your courage.
Nice.
Because fear, we all have some fears around financial life or money and what it isn't or is. So I like to help people be courageous. We all have what I call money mojo, those things inside of us that are powerful and creative and opportunistic. So let's apply that to your financial decisions with courage and heart and, you know, excitement. And let's let go of the fear so that you can really have what you want.
I like that. So number one was
face your financial fiascos and forgive yourself about them.
Get real and then let it go.
Let it go.
Yeah.
Yes, and learn from them.
And then number two was?
Number two is look at what shoulds you're living in your life and shift that to living what could you do with your money.
I have a friend that actually uses the phrase, you know, you're shitting yourself.
You're shitting yourself. Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. And then number three is?
And number three is do what you can to let go of your fear and use your courage. So divorce your fear and marry your courage. Be courageous with what you're creating financially.
Okay. So, you know, the reverse of that is true.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't do this kind of a thing.
Yes.
We'll... To use the old phrase, if you keep doing what you've always done, you're going to keep getting what you've always gotten.
Exactly.
You know, the definition of insanity is to continue to repeat the mistake you're making.
That's right.
What happens to us if you don't fix this?
Well, what I find is many people who are sort of at a plateau and they're frustrated and they feel hopeless because they have ideas and visions and goals that they want to achieve, but they don't know how to get from where they are now to where they want to go. And that's especially true regarding money. And so money can be extremely frustrating. It's the number one stress in marriages. It's the reason most early couples get divorces, you know, new married couples, because there's a lack of understanding about how you can really make your internal relationship with money, how you can shift it and make it better and make it work for you. I've always told people in my financial work, every individual deserves a personal plan because we're all individual people. And that's what I help people learn about their psychology with money. It's unique. And so therefore, you can learn to use your psychology in a positive way.
Great. So, Teresa, somebody has gotten just enough information now that they know that they don't know what they know.
Yeah.
What can they do to get further information from you, to get you to help them to deal with these kind of things?
Sure. So you can connect with me on Facebook at Reinventing Her, and my website is www.reinventinghher.com, and I also have a LinkedIn profile as well. I'm offering online programs currently, so you can find links to that. What I'm really working on is getting more awareness around this whole idea of spending some time. You know, we all know we should have a budget, or we should at least manage our money and take some time to look at our finances, know what they all mean. But I'm also encouraging people and increasing awareness around learning more about your psychology with money so that you can use it to your advantage instead of having it keeping you in a place where you don't want to be. So check me out on my website, and then you'll find lots of places to connect with me from there.
Okay, and that's Reinventing Herself.
Reinventing her, all one word, dot com.
Reinventinghher.com.
Right.
Okay, so I like to always leave people with an action, something
yes.
they can do. So right now, today, this week, what's the number one first thing that a person can do to start moving in the right direction?
It's excellent. So what I invite everyone listening to do is take some time today to sit down with a piece of paper and ask yourself this question: what do I really want with my financial life? And when you might have several things. You might have something in the category of, well, I want to buy something for my daughter, or I want to go somewhere. So don't worry so much about the answers. I say that desire is the doorway to reinvention. And so allowing yourself to want something, a new way of being, a new experience, that gets your juices going. And then there's action steps after that. So ask, what do I really want with my financial life?
Ask yourself, what do you really want? And I encourage you to check out reinventinghere.com. Teresa, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
It's okay to want things. It's okay to make a plan for how you're going to get them. And most importantly, it is okay to live a life of passion, to put your passion into practice as you go through life. As you succeed, you thrive, and you really just shine in every aspect of your life. It's okay to have a passion. Because that's another way that you can live as a thriving entrepreneur. We'll be right back. You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance
with the world. All you need to do is go to WeHelpYouThrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome back. We're talking today about putting your passion into practice. One of the best things that you can do in business to really show your passion is to really nail your branding, to have a brand that represents and shows, hey, this person is really into whatever it is that you're into. And so I really wanted to bring in one last of our best-selling authors that I did an interview with her previously when her book first came out, and have her talk just a little bit with you about branding, about how to really nail your branding, and how to really be the best version of yourself you can be. I think more than anything else, if you really want to put your passion into practice, it's time to really begin to brand your life, brand your business, and live in a way that really allows that passion to shine. So join me as we talk a little bit here with our good friend, Sade Wyadu.
Hello, everyone. My name is Sade Wyadu, and I'm a personal brand strategist for women entrepreneurs, and I help them create clear and confident brands that profit online. And how I got through this, I originally was an educator. My background, all of my degrees are in education. And there was this numbing, thawing, thumping, pushing, driving force that was saying, you need to be an entrepreneur. And I didn't know exactly how to get there. I was very nervous. I was always leaning on my educational experience and saying, how can I be an entrepreneur? And I needed to brand myself as something new, and I needed to kind of get out of education and rebrand myself as a branding strategist and a branding expert. And through that process, and it was a frustrating process, I developed this system of establishing yourself as an expert in an accelerated manner.
So, branding strategist. Most of us should know what that is, but there are some people that really, really fight branding. I know we've both ran into it. Explain to us, what does it mean to be a branding strategist?
A branding strategist is a person that helps you develop a way for people to see you and help you gain visibility and actually be heard and be paid. Branding is really about positioning yourself in the marketplace as the go-to person for X or the go-to person for Y or Z. And the branding is really that crafting and molding of putting you out there so that you can truly be seen and paid.
So let's talk about that one. I know that the two biggest words that I hear people fight against is the word expert and profit. Those seem to be the two things that people are like, well, no, I don't want to be seen as an expert. I don't want to make people think that I'm in this for a profit. Talk directly to people about that. What does it mean to be an expert?
An expert is someone who truly has positioned themselves as a knowledge base and a knowledge source of information about a particular topic or field. That's what it is. They've positioned themselves. And to be quite honest, a lot of experts don't necessarily feel that they are experts. However, their positioning and their branding has put them, has catapulted them as an expert in a field. And I know a lot of people shy away from it, but in actuality, if you want to be seen and recognized and heard in your field, you need to position yourself as an expert, because people pay attention to experts. They're recognizable, and people will pay money and pay more money for experts. You don't want to go to someone who's just a general specialist. You want to go to someone who specifically can help you with your ailment, your problem. So you look for experts. And also, if you're talking about just social media, if you're Googling a problem that you have, the people who come up in the Google search are the experts. Those are going to be some of the first people that show up, because they have positioned themselves. They've talked enough about a topic or an issue that they come up first, and they're going to be easily seen. And you're more than likely to look at someone who's on the first page of Google versus the 14th page of Google. And it's all about positioning themselves as an expert. And as far as profits are concerned, if you are running a business, if you're an entrepreneur, it's extremely important. It is mandatory to be profitable. That is a part of the process. And it's not okay to just put yourself out there and not want to be profitable if you are an entrepreneur, because your life is expensive. The things that you need to do cost money. So in order to afford your life, you have to think about profits. And it will be a disservice to you and your business if you don't think about how to be profitable.
I like that. I love that you said ultimately being an expert is about being seen. What does it mean for us to be able to be seen?
Being seen is so important, especially in an information-driven society. There's so much information. Information is at the click of your phone, your computer. We have information overload. We're in a tech-savvy society that is information-driven, and we have so much information. Experts help us sift through the information. They just give us a streamlined process so that we don't have to spend hours and hours on Google looking at tons and tons of videos on YouTube. They've put everything together in a nice package that makes it easier for us. An expert, if we compare it to kitchen utensils, an expert will be the microwave. Makes it quicker, faster. We understand it. We get the food quicker. And going through all that information on Google would be, or not positioning yourself as an expert would be like the oven. It takes longer to be found. You can still be found, but it's going to take longer. You're going to have to be more patient. But if you're looking to expedite and accelerate the process, because you can accelerate it, you need to position yourself as an expert and really put yourself out there as a go-to person in your field.
So give me the big why. Why do I want to be seen?
Why do you want to be seen? It's really not about you. And that's what I realized. Being seen, I could have been totally okay with just being an educator. I was doing a great job. I was an award-winning educator. I could have been okay with that. But I knew that there was a purpose, and I had a drive to do something more, to help women entrepreneurs succeed in business. And I knew that my target audience, one of the things that they were suffering from was not feeling good about themselves, that lack of confidence. And I really knew that I needed to help them become successful, because if they were successful in their businesses, then that meant that they could take care of their families. That meant that their bills would be paid. That meant that their lives would be better. So I knew that positioning myself as an expert, putting myself out there, was helping me become a catalyst for change and being a server and a servant to people who really needed me. There's so many people out there that need you, not even just want you. They need you. And I say this all of the time. They're Googling you. They're crying. They cannot sleep at night because you solve a problem that they need to be solved immediately. But because you are afraid to put yourself out there, their problem is not solved. They're still having sleepless nights. They're still having problems with their family. They're still having problems with their finances because you have felt like you don't want to do it. They feel like they can't do it. And knowing that my calling and my purpose is really to be a catalyst for change and to help people, I'm more drawn to my calling than worrying about, you know, being nervous of putting myself out there.
I like that. I think, and you really bring it out in your book. It's very easy, especially for women entrepreneurs, to want to hide. It's kind of sometimes, I think, in some of our natures to stay in the shadows, to not, want the spotlight on us. But I think it's so important what you said, that if we're finding ourselves hiding from the light, to remember that our message is a message that somebody else needs, that it was never about you, that it's about the people that we're here to serve.
Exactly. Your message is so powerful. A lot of times we're nervous and scared to share about the struggles that we've had in our lives because we're embarrassed about it. We're big on our brand and what we're, our perception that we're putting out there, that we're so afraid to share authentically about what we've gone through. But in actuality, sharing that human mystic part of ourselves, sharing what we've gone through, the struggles, and some of that's in the book, some of the struggles I've had because I was not an expert and because I was not confident about being an expert, it caused me struggles in my life. And I know that through those struggles, this will be a blessing to someone and help them get to a breakthrough in their business and have a breakthrough in their brand, because now they have the steps that are necessary to be successful in business. They have the steps that are necessary to putting themselves out there as an expert and positioning themselves as an authority figure. And it's okay for women, it's okay for us to be an authority figure in our field. It's totally okay, because like the book's title, you are enough. You know enough. You have what it takes to be successful.
I like that. I like that a lot. So you told us you started out as an educator, so let's be good teachers. Let's leave people with just one thing. I know in your book you have five things that a person can do very easily every day to accelerate their expertise. But what's just one thing that somebody could do? They could, you know, end this recording right now and they could go out and do it right now. What could a person do?
One thing that you can do today is to contribute to the online conversation. There are so many people talking about your particular field, whether you're in health, you're in fashion, you're in wellness, you're in fitness, whatever you do, there's someone else out there discussing your topic and issue. Contribute to that online conversation. Tweet back your response. Write a Facebook post or a blog post about it. Just put yourself out there in the online space and just contribute. Be a contributor. Start out as a servant of your field and let people know that you're there. And by virtue of contributing, you're telling people loud and clear, I'm here. I have arrived. My opinion matters. I want to be seen. I no longer want to be invisible. I'm not going to hide in the shadows. I'm going to come to the light. And just putting yourself out there, whether it's just that small tweet of saying something that relates to your field or that small post, a paragraph, just saying that you exist is extremely powerful, and it's putting you on the pathway to profitability and expediting your expertise.
That's awesome. Sade Wayadu, her book is called You Are Enough, The Branding Guide for Accelerating Your Expertise and Profit. I encourage you to check it out on Amazon. This is an awesome book. I've heard it. I've seen it. I know about it. This is great stuff. Check out Sade Wayadu. For those of you who are wondering how to spell that, it's Shade Wayadu. You Are Enough, The Branding Guide for Accelerating Your Expertise and Profit. Thanks so much, Sade, for spending some time with us here today. We are so excited to just see your book blow up and help so many people. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Every time I get down to the end of another episode, you know, I'm always surprised how quickly it goes, but I also love what we've been able to pour into you. And I love the fact that you can live your life, you can thrive in your life and business. And it really is my blessing and my honor to be able to spend this time with you and help you really grow, to really thrive and be all that you can be in your life and your business. So thank you for including us and allowing us to be part of what you have going on in your life so that you can practice your passion. You can live a life that you feel passionate about every moment of every day. It really is a great thing to know what you're passionate about and then really be able to live it. You see, because without you, there's a piece of the world missing. That's why Kathy and I love so much helping people
become best-selling authors because you have a message that really truly does need to share. Now, it can start as easy as just joining us for free, bestsellersguild.com. It'll help you get into our free Facebook group, and you can get a whole bunch of information in there. We've had a lot of people that have just come in, gone to the free workshops, different things like that, and they're now best-selling authors. For others of you, you're like, I need a little help. I don't want to do it all myself, what have you. And we would love to talk to you about our authority package and how it can really make you an authority in your industry and other things that, you know, Kathy and I have learned over the last 20 years marketing people, or stuff that I've learned over the last 30 plus years working in business and as a coach, to really help you grow your business. So that you can share your life, your passion with the world. You can practice your passion in everything you do. I really do hope that you will start off by joining us at bestsellersguild.com because, like I was saying, the world just isn't quite as good of a place without you sharing your unique brilliance with the world. You see, if there's two people sitting right next to each other, both of them work for the same exact company, doing basically the same job, their stories are going to be completely different. Where they've come from, what they've learned, what sparks and inspires them in their day-to-day life, why they chose that type of work over another, all of those things often are very similar, but they're also often very, very different. And in exploring our differences and seeing each of our unique value in what we do and then sharing that with the world, it makes us all better people. It makes us all live in a better place. So I appreciate you for being courageous and bold, because I'm just going to claim that you are in the process now of stepping up and becoming a best-selling author. You know you want to do it. I mean, 80% of the people in the world say that they want to write a book. And if you're going to take the time to write a book, why not just go ahead and make it a bestseller? I mean, that seems fair, doesn't it? And, you know, we have some processes that can help you along the way with that. Anything that we can do to help at any point, please let us know. And please do join us and share your journey on bestsellersguild.com. It's such a great family that we would love for you to be part of. Remember today as you go through your day, practice your passion. Put your passion into your business, your medical practice, whatever you might be doing. Be passionate. Live a life filled with passion. I encourage you to do that. I want that for you. I bless you with a life filled with passion today. Because you are uniquely brilliant. You were created very specifically for a purpose. And the world does need you. I want you to know that Kathy and I are here to help you live every day of your life as a thriving entrepreneur. Take that to heart. Know that we're here for you, and if there's anything that we can do, feel free to reach out to Kathy or I so that you can thrive in your life and in your business. And until next time, we'll see you again next week here on Thriving Entrepreneur. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today. If you want to get your question answered, send an email to questions@wehelpyouthrive.com. We look forward to you joining us again next time.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you.
It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.